Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on Facebook at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. Before we begin today's exposition, I'd like to remind you about my new website. It's called jimandrewsbooks.com, and there you will find all my books. That's jimandrewsbooks.com. And now, let's continue our current study.
We continue our exposition of the Gospel of John. We're winding up John chapter 3. We were last looking at verse 36. John has just said, speaking of the Lord Jesus, that he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, I often review, but this is especially important and important for anybody, and there won't be many in a program like this, on a Christian station like this, but anybody out there who may be what I call, just for whatever reason, eavesdropping on a Christian program, who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thrilled to death that you should be listening. But we want you to understand, because you're probably not going to come to my church, maybe not go to any church. But it is my responsibility, insofar as I have the opportunity, to share with you the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to make sure that you know the good news as well as know the bad news if you reject him. And also to knock in the head an objection that is sometimes made to the gospel in this pluralistic society. I want you to notice what I was calling attention to in verse 36. The text says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. Now you will notice that that is comprehensive. That is kind of a generic he, speaking of mankind. It is inclusive, he who. Red, yellow, black, or white, or rich or poor, male or female, boy or girl, slave or free man, educated person or uneducated, it makes no difference. The offer of God's saving grace is open to every man and woman anywhere on the planet who will receive his Son. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Now, to review what I was saying about that is this. In this pluralistic society, there are those who get all hostile when we tell men that in order to be saved, they need to receive Christ. Larry King would say on his program sometimes to some pastor whom he may be interviewing, he says, well, I'm a Jew. Am I going to go to hell because I do not believe in Jesus? Now listen, the objection there is that this is narrow and this is exclusive, and it does not tell people that they can come to God on any old terms, any way they like. That is true, but that is not exclusive. This is very inclusive, and let me tell you why. I gave several illustrations, but I'll give one that I gave in the last program. It's like a neighbor who, like so many others, is in a desperately poor neighborhood, and they're all dying for lack of bread and water. Well, at your house, you have plenty, and you generously spread the word that ample provisions are there. They're freely available at the present time at your place. No charge, and available on a first-come, first-served basis. No discrimination or respect of persons. All this person has to do, whoever it is come over and get it. But the neighbor doesn't want it. The neighbor is hostile. That's the problem. That's why people object. They object because they prefer darkness and Jesus Christ represents light. They prefer religions, if they are religious, that allows free and unfettered vent to the flesh and its lust and dispositions. So to say that you've got bread and water at your house and come on over, it's free to all who will come, to say that that is exclusive is just to say that you're hostile. You're hostile to that person and their provisions. You don't want anything from them. You don't want what they're offering. You want it on your terms. So if he refuses your offer and rails about your exclusiveness and narrowness because you did not say that bread and water is available just anywhere but only at your place, well, that's illogical. The real problem here is that the hostile neighbor hates you and what you're all about and would rather do anything than humble himself and receive saving provisions at your hand. That's the problem. My friend, God says, whosoever will may come. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, he who. You can't argue with that. But Jesus says, look, there's a volcano on this island, and there's only one way off. It'd be nice to tell you that there were many ways, but there is one way. And that one way is a great way, and it is a saving way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. He's the boat. So go through him and get to the ark of safety. Now, he says, whosoever believes in the Son, I've emphasized again and again and will continue to do so, that believes in is a long order above believing that. Saving faith starts with believing that. It believes that God is there. It believes that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It starts there. It starts with believing that God sent his Son into the world to save us from our sins, that he died for our sins on a Roman cross, and that he rose again on the third day, and that he's coming again to receive us, and believing that if we trust in him, that we will be saved and our sins will be pardoned. But it doesn't stop there. We miss the force when we think that saving faith or Christian faith stops at believing that. It doesn't say he who believes that, this and that. It says he who believes in the Son. So believing that is only a foundation to trusting in. He who trusts in the Son has eternal life, and that is Christian faith. There are just all kinds of people sitting around in our churches who think that becoming a Christian is deciding, oh, I believe in God. The devil believes that and trembles. I've said 100 times. James says that. The devil believes all that we believe and trembles, folks, but he doesn't trust in God. He doesn't believe in his Son, and that's what sets it all apart. He who believes in the Son, he says, has eternal life. And I've emphasized before, and here is another occasion since it's mentioned. John 3:16 was another. We have eternal life. Right now, if you don't have Christ, you're alive. But you're the walking dead. You're dying on the vine, even as you live. You're like a plant out there. You have a certain season of life, and that expires, and you wither away. I'm dying even as I'm speaking, and you're dying even as you're listening. What you don't have, you see, because you're disconnected from your Creator. The umbilical cord has been cut. What you don't have is eternal life. Jesus Christ is that life. He is that eternal life. And what you need to be is an organic connection with him. Eternal life is not something that you get down the road somewhere when the Lord comes or you go into heaven and somebody walks up, I'll speak crassly, but somebody walks up, you know, with a package and says, here's eternal life. No. Eternal life is something that begins right here and right now when we trust in Jesus Christ. That moment when faith is seminally birthed in our hearts. It's an organic thing, and the Spirit of God enters us. And when the Spirit of God enters us, there's that organic connection with God restored, and we have eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son, to obey the Son is to believe in him. To not obey him is to refuse to believe in him. Faith is an act of obedience. We will see in John chapter 6, which is up ahead, Jesus was asked one day by the Jews what they should do to work the works of God, that is, please him and earn their way into God's favor. In John 6:29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God. This is the obedience that God wants from you. What is that? That you believe in Him, that is the Son, whom He has sent." My friend, what does God want from you? Oh, I guess He wants me to go to church. That's not it. What does God want from you? Well, I guess He wants me to give money to His cause or something like that. Maybe He wants me to go feed the poor. That's not what He wants. What does God want from you? He wants you to trust in His Son. And to refuse to do that is to disobey God. It is to be a rebel. It is to say, "I will not." It is to say, "I don't believe I need Him," and it's to call God a liar. "I don't want Him," and it's to call God no good. So the one who will not believe in Jesus Christ, the one who will not obey Him, shall not see life. As I say, you're alive, but you're just existing. I like to say it's kind of like a snake. It's had its head cut off, but it's in the road and still wiggling. We're all still wiggling, but we're dead on our feet. But here's the problem. The wrath of God abides on him. Do you notice what that says, my friend? It doesn't say it will. It doesn't say there's coming a time down the road when all of a sudden you will meet with the wrath of God. No, what it's telling you is that right now, here on this very day, the day that you're sitting there listening, even though you're surrounded by all kinds of tokens of the grace of God, no matter how badly you have treated him, the truth is the holy indignation of God, like a great black cloud, hangs over your life. The consummation of that will be later, but right now, the holy indignation of God is over your life. I tell you, I would hate to get out of bed in the morning and walk into the corridors of life, realizing that the wrath of God hangs over my head like a great storm cloud that one day is going to burst over your life and send you off into eternal destruction, into everlasting blackness reserved for the devil and his angels. I would certainly hate to be there. And that is what's going to happen. You sometimes hear people talk about they don't like the Old Testament because they see the wrath of God. Well, right here's the New Testament, my friend, and it's all over the New Testament. There is a heaven to be gained. There is a hell to be shunned. You can go into denial about it if you like. God gives you that freedom. But according to the Scriptures, there's destruction and there's damnation for those who reject God's Son, who look at the cross, say, "I don't believe that nonsense." Who look at the cross and say, "Well, even if I believed it, I don't want anything to do with it. Look, I'm good enough on my own. If God can't take me as I am, I don't want that God." You know, all of that kind of garbage that you'll hear people say. Well, you have it your way. But in the end, the wrath of God will have its way with you. But right now, the grace of God is extended to you. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. And my friend, that's what you lack. You lack that abundant life that you can know. You lack that forgiveness that you can know. You lack that peace, that joy in Christ that you can know. You just can't imagine what it's like to have eternal life, but it's offered to you. Just remember this about the wrath of God. My friends, God is a holy God. He loves the creatures that He's created, but He hates the pollution that defiles us. We love our children, don't we? But if they get into all kinds of crime and trouble, as much as we love our children, we hate their crime. We hate the life that they've gotten into, and so it is with God. In love, God paved a way in His Son. He paved a way to cleanse us and to receive us by a legal transaction, undefiled, to clean up our record, as it were, and to receive us into His holy presence. God paved a way to expunge not only our sins, but our sin, and to cast it in, as one said, into the sea of His forgetfulness. But if we refuse His gracious provision in Christ, I tell you, hear me, we condemn ourselves. The indignation of God abides on us. That is lifted for those who will trust in Him. The outrageousness of it all is not simply that God hates the puke we wallow in. But the outrageousness of it all, my friend, is that we love it. We not only love it, But you see, when we reject Christ, we in effect call God a liar. When he sent Christ into the world to warn us and to deliver us from a rendezvous with the judgment of God, and when we refuse to believe the voice of God, we call God a liar. We would have recognized God's voice had our hearts not been disposed to love darkness and disposed not to be convinced. You can't convince a man against his will. John 3:18 and following, we looked at that. So, my friends, whoever you are, make no mistake. As surely as God is in heaven, so the ungodly will be in hell. As surely as there is a salvation from sin, there is a damnation for sin. You can forget all this business of going to a funeral, as people regularly do. And it doesn't matter that Harry was a hellion, and he lived all of his life in defiance of God and having a happy good old time, kicking up his heels, ignoring God, pandering to the flesh. And everybody says he was a good guy, and Harry is up there looking down on us. I'm sorry. Harry hasn't gone to a better place. Harry has gone into hell. Harry is not looking down on us. Harry is in torment. Don't kid yourself, my friend. You don't have to believe the scriptures, but that doesn't change the reality. I don't have to believe in the law of gravity. I don't have to believe the earth is round. Don't have to believe that, but I have to accept the consequences of not believing it. So don't buy this street theology that has everybody and his dog going to a better place. Those without Christ are not going to a better place. They're going to a bitter one, worse than the human mind could possibly imagine. Well, somebody says, come on now. How could a loving God send people to hell? Newsflash, he doesn't. He doesn't. We send ourselves to hell when we refuse his offer of salvation. It's like going back to that volcano illustration. And here the volcano is spitting fire and fury all over an island. There's one path of escape. The news goes out. There's a way open. There's a way of salvation open. Take this route right here, and there is a boat offshore. It'll accommodate every one of us. You can save yourself. Go. Well, some people don't want to go for whatever reason. They don't want to take. They want there to be another way. They think there surely must be another way. They think there's got to be another way. Or they think, like Harry Truman sitting there under the quaking of Mount St. Helens, they think, it's no big threat. I can sit it out. Whatever they think, they're wrong. Well, don't say, well, why did that boat not take them? Why did they send those people left on that island to that doom? They didn't send them. The people sent themselves. They wouldn't accept the offer. They created their own sentence. We send ourselves to hell when we refuse God's gracious offer of salvation. We refuse his pardon and forgiveness. When we refuse to believe God, we call him a liar and we say we're good enough. Accept us as we are or just forget it. Well, you've made your own bed, then you will have to lie in it. Imagine residents trapped in a window of a burning building. The owner calls the fire department. They spread the safety net for those in danger of the fire to jump out to safety. Some do. Others refuse. Those who refuse demand that the firemen come up and get them and personally carry them to safety. So refusing to jump to safety, they perish. Well, in a case like that, let no one complain. How could the owner let those poor people burn to death? He didn't. He arranged for their rescue, but they wouldn't have it on those terms. They condemned themselves to a burning building because of their stubbornness, because of their vain hope that somebody, somehow, would dash through the raging fire and save them on their terms. They didn't want to jump. They were wrong. There was one way, and that refused, there was no way. They condemned themselves to the fire. My friends, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, not just physical death, we're suffering that curse right now, but the larger death, eternal death, everlasting death. Only God in heaven knows the sinfulness of sin. Only God knows what justice is. When men refuse to accept his gracious amnesty, and then force him to impose justice on them. For he is a just God, and we will either die for our own sins or we will let Christ die in our place. So the question really is not, how can God condemn people to eternal damnation? But the real question is, how evil, how natively evil are human beings who so hate Jesus Christ that they can reject at such a price so great of salvation? That's the greater question one should ask himself. My dear friends, the Bible says, by grace, by God's grace, we are saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will come that way, or there is no way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. The Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So don't fool yourself, my friends, in this day of pluralism. Most people out there in the streets don't take the Bible seriously as the Word of God. They have that choice, but it is the truth. And the truth still speaks with power to those to whom God gives eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to obey. The rest, it just hardens. But in the hope, on the chance that there is someone listening to my voice, to whom God has given, perchance, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to obey, I encourage you not to continue in the path where you're going. It's easy for you to hear the popular mantra, to be dismissive of the Scriptures as the Word of God, and to say, oh, that stuff is nonsense, and to think that surely God would not pass sentence, to think surely the wrath of God would not abide on us for not receiving Jesus Christ as His Son or whatever. Don't be a fool. If you're not a believer, it just could be, listen to me, it just could be that in the plan and purpose of God you happen to be listening at this moment for this very message, and it just could be, even though you might live for 30 years after this program, it could be that this is the last time in the grace of God that the Spirit of God is going to speak to you and going to tell you what I suspect you might be hearing. That's the truth. I know it. Don't spurn it, because there is a chance that having heard it this clearly, this plainly, there is a chance that now your heart may be so hardened that you will never again in your life hear the calling, experience the drawing of the Spirit of God. And though you hear this message 1,000 times after this, your heart will be so numb you will never respond. If the Spirit of God is drawing you and you feel that, my friend, you hit your knees. Wherever you are, pull off the side of the road, wherever you are, and say, Lord Jesus, it's time. It's time. I have run too far too long. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. You are the Savior. I know you're the Savior. And I know the wrath of God is hanging over my head like a black cloud, and yet the grace and the love and the mercy of God beckons me to come out from under all that. Well, dear friends, our time has expired. We thank you for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you, and just have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.